Part 3. Questions 21 to 25. How many of you were at the football game Saturday night? Did you notice the blimps circling the stadium? Today's blimps are much smaller descendants of the giant airships, sometimes called zeppelins, that were used in the early 20th century. Like those zeppelins, blimps are lighter than aircraft. But blimps differ from zeppelins in a number of ways. First, as I said, they are quite a bit smaller. The old airships were as long as football fields. And unlike zeppelins, blimps do not contain an internal metal frame. That's why blimps are sometimes called non-rigid airships. And blimps are a lot safer than the old zeppelins. That's because they use non-flammable helium in place of hydrogen to provide lift. As you may know, the age of the airship ended when the famous German airship Hindenburg exploded disastrously at Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937. I say that airship travel ended then, but some engineers believe that large rigid airships will fly again. These airships of the future could be equipped with jet engines and filled with helium. Although they wouldn't be as fast as modern airplanes, they would be much more fuel efficient. Questions 26 to 30. Twice a year, all the clocks in the United States are changed by 1 hour. In the spring, clocks are moved ahead an hour. This is called daylight saving time. In the fall, clocks are set back an hour to standard time. People remember how to change their clocks by remembering this saying, spring forward, fall back. It seems Benjamin Franklin was the first person to propose the idea of daylight saving time back in the 1790s. At the time, people thought he was joking. They couldn't believe he was serious. Many years later, during World War I, people realized what an innovative idea he'd had. In the spring and summer, the sun rises earlier. By moving the clock ahead, people can take advantage of the extra daylight and save energy. Energy is an important resource, of course, especially during wartime. The United States operated on daylight saving time during World War I and again during World War II. After that, some parts of the country observed daylight saving time and some didn't. Beginning and ending dates varied from place to place. This confusion ended in 1966 when the Congress passed the Uniform Time Act, standardizing the process and making daylight saving time a federal law. Since then, some lawmakers have proposed that the United States go to year-round daylight saving time. Questions 31 to 35. Now, in the last few minutes of class, I'd like to address a slightly different issue, the question of how children learn to talk. Learning to speak their own language is one of children's greatest accomplishments, yet it is a somewhat mysterious process. Children first begin to make language-like noises when they are between 2 and 4 months old. These noises generally begin with the letters G and K because these sounds, goo and coo, are the easiest sounds for infant mouths to make. Between 4 months and 8 months, infants begin to babble meaningless syllables. Most common are those beginning with P, B, D, M, or N sounds, followed by a vowel sound. Parents sometimes misinterpret these as actual words, such as mama or dada. Between 6 months and a year, babies say their first true words. Vocabulary grows slowly at first, usually only a few words a month, but once a child has learned about 50 words, generally at around 18 months, the pace picks up rapidly. At first, children say single words, then they begin forming two-word combinations. All gone, more milk, see doggy. Children's two-word combinations are so similar the world over that they read like translations of one another. Between the age of 2 and 3, children can form complete sentences and have mastered the basics of grammar. Can you believe it? A 2-and-a-half-year-old toddler is a grammatical genius, and all without studying a single rule. Typically, four-year-olds know some 15,000 words and can form very sophisticated sentences. Even their mistakes are very logical, like, I saw two mans, or we goed to grandma's house. So how does this all happen? Well, there are several conflicting theories about language acquisition, but unfortunately, there just isn't time to discuss them today, so we'll take them up in Wednesday's class. In the meantime, please read Chapter 8 in your textbook. See you Wednesday.